Domingo Santana.
Welcome to your Kokomo Friday edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It is April 26th. It is Adam and Heath on the mic. Very excited for today's show. I don't know, man. I'm really feeling it. I'm in a good mood. You know, I think, Heath, I'm just very thankful to the MLB schedule makers. They gave us an extremely uneventful day of only 8 games because we were obviously watching the NFL draft. So that means we get to, you know, talk about some different stuff on today's show. We get to read some emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We get to give the top 5 at each position so far. We get to actually hear from Heath after my 1 minute long rambling intro. Hello, Heath.
Hi, Adam.
Hey. You have a lot
that
to
was,
say?
That was a fantastic intro. One of the best you've ever had.
Thank you. And I've been working on my outros. They're pretty normal.
Oh, you
now.
Have?
Yeah,
I hadn't noticed.
I just say, we'll see you tomorrow. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. I don't know what I say. It's just something. It's something consistent now, so I don't have to be terrible at that. Anyway, happy Friday, everybody. Heath, how was your night? Are you ready to talk about the draft on the football podcast?
Oh, I'm very ready. I enjoyed tweeting things at you whenever the Giants did things. That was fun.
You're being a little hard on them.
A little hard. They picked someone that, like, number 6 that I did not think was a top 6 quarterback. So that's bad.
Yeah. You're being hard on the rest. Okay. So, baseball. 2 start pitchers. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show, but I gave you the task of picking the 2 start pitcher who was owned in less than 70% of leagues, the one that you would recommend. It is not easy. Yesterday it was Mike Soroka. For me, anyway. Now he's 73% owned, so he's not really in the discussion anymore, but take a look at Mike Soroka, 73% owned, and has the Padres and the Marlins next week. But if there was someone else that's somewhat widely available, can you recommend any 2-star pitchers next week?
No. We've had a really bad stretch, and we talked about early in the year when we were looking at how bad some of these offenses are, and I think there was speculation from, rightly it seemed, this might be a really good year for 2-start dreamers. And we've tried it a couple times over the last few weeks, and it's blown up almost every single time. And then you get to this week, and there's not really a pitcher at less than 70% owned that I think, like, the closest for me might be Jake Junis.
Yeah. It's bad. He's got Tampa Bay and he's at Detroit. So at Detroit is a great matchup. It's tough. This is not a good week. Yeah, I don't think there are a lot of games on Monday or Thursday next week, particularly Monday. So I think it's a particularly light week in two-star pitchers. Now let me open your mind to something here. I think we need to start considering 1-start streamers more often because we saw this last year. They changed the MLB schedule. They extended the season a little bit. And it actually had a fairly significant effect on 2-start pitchers. We just don't have as many as we used to because the games are more spread out. So I think you need to be more open-minded to, not you, Heath, but everyone needs to be more open-minded to 1-start streamers. And can't really do that now. You sort of have to wait until the weekend and we can talk about it on Monday. But it's just something to consider. You might want to take a look at 1-star pitchers who have good matchups, and there won't be that many 2-star pitchers going against you next week. So, you know, it's a good week for 1-star streamers. Open your mind.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess Yonny Chirinos is probably going to be a 1-star streamer against the Royals.
There you go. That could work.
I don't know if it's going to be a good week for it or not, but it's been a rough season so far for picking which bad pitcher who's been pitching well lately is not going to blow up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's not do that then. The NFL draft continues tonight and Saturday, and our coverage on CBS Sports HQ continues. Download the CBS Sports app. You got it on your Fire, on your Roku, on your Apple TV, wherever. You can watch it online as well. It's all free. It's 24/7. It's always streaming. It's great sports coverage. It's not just NFL draft. There's obviously going to be fantasy talk on there. There's baseball. There's football. There's hockey. There's everything. It's old school sports coverage, and it's awesome. CBS Sports HQ. Give it a shot. All right, news and notes. The Nationals are calling up Carter Kieboom. We talked about him yesterday. He's 37% owned. In AAA, he's batting .379 with three homers and 18 RBIs and 16 walks to 20 strikeouts. So very good numbers for Carter Kieboom. And is it short term? Is he a must add? You tell me, what do we do with this shortstop prospect for the Nationals?
And I didn't see any quotes. So this is just my speculation, but I do believe this is short term. He is still, I mean, this is his age 21 season. He wasn't near this good in the minor leagues last year, had an 801 OPS split between double A and high A. So I think there's definitely some upside. There's definitely team name upside once he's ready, but I expect this to be a short term situation.
So you're not really rushing to pick him up because, you know, you could still pick him up and just see what happens. Right? I mean, yeah.
I don't have, like, and I'm sure some people do, but I don't have any teams where I'm like, man, I wish I could pick up a shortstop.
Okay, but what if...
I don't think he'd be good enough to play as a utility.
Trey Turner comes back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think here.
And they just bench Brian Dozier?
Yes.
That's possible.
You know, and then in that scenario, Kieboom will pick up second base eligibility.
Yeah, and you might want to add him in a league where you have a middle infielder and need some upside at that position. But I really expect it's going to be a short term.
Okay. Ross Stripling is headed back to the bullpen when Rich Hill returns, which should be this weekend. So Hill is 85% owned. Stripling is 84% owned. Should we make sure Hill is added in any league? He's mostly added, but still. And should we be dropping Ross Stripling?
I expect Ross Stripling is going to be back in the rotation in the next 40 days, probably. But there's certainly a league where you can't hold on to him. And Rich Hill is must add and pretty close to must start once he's. I want to see him make one start and see that he's okay, and then you just start him every time.
Elvis Andrews, that guy, returned to the lineup, and he went 2-for-4 at Seattle. Hashtag buy high, Heath. Buy high.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Why? Why?
There's too many shortstops, and it's been good batted ball luck so far. He might steal 25 bases. That would be exciting again.
Right, yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be better than like a top 10 shortstop though.
I think he's going to be.
He's like a low end starter.
Gleyber Torres, I was going to say. I think he's going to be better than Gleyber Torres.
Maybe. Gleyber Torres is not a top 12 shortstop for me right now.
He's not a top 20 shortstop right now in terms of fantasy production. Let's see. Brandon Morrow can resume throwing in 2 weeks, but he still has a ways to go before he gets back. So pick up Pedro Strop. Miguel Andujar could be back in a week. That was a surprise.
That's weird.
Yeah. What is that? You know, what do you think playing through a shoulder injury? You don't know how he's going to perform.
We don't generally like hitters playing through shoulder injuries, and that's after they've healed the prescribed amount of time. If he comes back early, I'm going to be very skeptical until we see him hit for some pop.
And Duhar hit .297 with 27 home runs last year, and he drove in 92 runs and is off to a 3-for-13 start before hurting his shoulder. And he's still 89% owned. I thought he might get dropped in more leagues than that. The Yankees acquired outfielder Cameron Maben. That does not matter. Public service announcement. Do not start Yusei Kikuchi today. He is going to pitch one, maybe two innings. Tyler Skaggs is going to start today. And I don't know if you want to start Tyler Skaggs, but I do think you want to add Tyler Skaggs. Why isn't it playing? I'm going to Tyler Skaggs. I guess I'll do it myself. I'm going to Tyler Skaggs. He's 64% out. I think that's too low, Heath, for Skaggs.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit too low. I'm not sure he should be 90% owned. But there's like, even when a lot of why we want him to be owned is because we think he's going to be better than he's been.
I'm going to Tyler Skaggs.
There you go.
That's right. Gene Segura expected back tomorrow. Addison Russell is going to play some second base and some shortstop in the minors, but there's no timetable for his call-up. As Drubal Cabrera left with calf tightness, Rougned Odor is going to return today. Jay Bruce could be back this weekend. Jordan Zimmerman left with an elbow issue, and Adam Jones has missed 2 games with a sore hand. All right, a lot of standouts from yesterday, but we'll probably go through it pretty quickly so we can read emails, preview next week, and look at the top five at each position, kind of take a look at the landscape of fantasy baseball so far. All right, give me a standout.
It was your favorite starting pitcher, Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
He was very good once again. And really, since the blow up on opening day, he's looked very much like Zach Greinke.
Oh, he's looked better than Zach Greinke. He's looked amazing.
I don't think there's any reason to have any concern.
He's got a 2.20 ERA. He's 4-0, 5 walks, 36 strikeouts, and 4 homers and 32 and 2/3. That's Greinke in the last 5 starts since that terrible start in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. I know I retweeted a stat from Al Melchior, so let me just find it. It was about Zach Greinke, okay. And I think you might find it.
Yes, he has a very high strikeout rate based on his swinging strike rate. A lot more strikeouts than you would expect for someone that gets the whiffs that he does.
But
that's also because Zach Greinke has always been a guy that pitches along the edges more than anyone else.
He's living on the edge. All right, so
he's halfway there.
I really did not want Zach Greinke, and now it looks like that was a bad idea. But he's kind of old, and he struggled at the final 2 months of last season, so we'll see. But yes, I mean, I can see that guy's pitching great. Other standouts?
Luis Castillo had a really weird start, but in terms of fantasy production, it was another very good start. Did not allow a run, did not walk a batter, and the walks had been too high early in the year. But then, of course, you look at the stat line and you see he also didn't really strike anybody out either, just 6 Ks or 2 Ks in 6 innings. So this isn't something where I've got Castillo just right on the cusp of jumping into that ace tier. This start was not enough to move him up into it.
Two pitchers were just dazzling yesterday. Marco Gonzalez, 7 scoreless with 9 strikeouts. Caleb Smith, 6 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, and 19 swinging strikes. Who would you rather have, Marco Gonzalez or Caleb Smith?
Caleb Smith, I think, may have jumped into my favorite stallion place in the rankings. And I had him about 10 spots ahead of Gonzalez. I don't really expect Marco Gonzalez to strike batters out like this. And Smith's control has been better, and the strikeouts I have very little doubt about. So I'll go with Smith.
Smith's control has been better than Caleb Smith of last year, not than Marco Gonzalez, right? That's what you mean.
Correct.
Right. Marco Gonzalez, great control pitcher, not a great strikeout pitcher despite yesterday. 9 walks, 34 strikeouts in 45 innings, and a 1.20 whip. He's probably going to have a somewhat higher whip than you'd expect for his ERA, and he isn't going to K a lot of guys, so I get it. But Marco Gonzalez is 5-0. We should give him some credit for that. We're going to rank pitchers. I think the easiest way to sum up yesterday's games is to just rank some pitchers. We're going to rank Castillo versus Greinke versus Tyone, Marco Gonzalez versus Caleb Smith versus John Lester, 3 aces who may have gone back-to-back-to-back in drafts, and they pitched last night. But 2 standouts I want to make sure we talk about before we get to that. Justin Turner. It's time to discuss Justin Turner. He's batting .250 with a .284 slugging percentage. Buy low or heck no on Justin Turner?
I wouldn't mind buying really, really low. There are things that are a bit concerning. He's striking out more than he has in the past. He's not lifting the ball. He's still hitting it very, very hard, though. And it's still early enough in the season that I don't think he's just forgotten how to lift the ball. So I would buy very low. He's not currently a top 10 third baseman for me, though.
Have you moved Michael Franco ahead of Justin Turner?
Oh, no. We haven't got that far yet.
Okay. So who have you moved ahead?
They were about 25 spots apart at the beginning of the year, and now they're maybe 10 spots apart.
Okay. Can you know who you moved ahead of Justin Turner at third base? Matt Chapman?
Matt Chapman for sure.
Yoan Moncada?
I think Moustakas is ahead of him.
You've got him back-to-back right now. Turner 13, Moustakas 14.
Yeah.
What about Moncada?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I know the strikeouts are up and the ground balls, but Turner is hitting the ball really hard. And he is still walking. 14 walks in 25 games. Career high 51.4% hard contact rate. I have faith in him. I always have trouble trading for guys that are going to get hurt because he's one of the most likely players to get hurt. But if you can get over that, like in a shallower league where it might not matter that much, I think now's the time to get Justin Turner. Not to say you're wrong about who you moved ahead of him in your rankings, but he's not this bad. He's still doing some, he's doing enough good things.
I feel better about him than I do Travis Shaw.
Okay. And Michael Chavis, 1-for-4 with a home run. He now has 2 homers and a double and a steal in 2 attempts in just 6 games. So we talked about maybe Kibum's potential to just play second base instead of a bad second baseman and Brian Dozier if he is bad. Chavis has bad competition. I mean, I know they're going to give Pedroia a chance, but I just don't have any faith in him. I do have some faith in Nunez, but it's kind of blind faith. And then Brock Holt's nothing special. So Michael Chavis is 29% owned. And I'm sorry, I keep forgetting to figure out how to pronounce his name if it's Chavis or Chavis, so I apologize for that. But I think he's off to a very nice start. 4 walks of 6 strikeouts here. I'm not sure we should be ignoring this. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think we should ignore it. I'm not really worried about the bat. I think he'll hit better than the other guys that you mentioned. I think he's the best hitter of the group. It's the question is whether he can play second base to a level that the Red Sox can accept. So far, I haven't seen Chavis play a lot, but he's not done anything embarrassing. He hasn't committed any errors yet. He did turn a double play the other day. So it's kind of, I think it's just, if he can keep playing second base at just an adequate level, and there's not a lot of balls just out of his reach because of his limited range, then I think he's just going to stick.
And let me just look up one thing here. He is a righty, which is good. I think is there also the possibility, does he play third base? Could he play third?
Yeah, he was originally a third baseman.
So if they get fed up with Rafael Devers, who's starting to hit a little bit better, by the way, but maybe they could platoon and sit Devers against lefties.
They could do that, but that's not really, it's not great for Chavis. He needs to be the everyday second
base. No, he'd play a little second base. He'd play a little third base,
A little first base.
Right. Why not? Okay.
Anybody can play first base.
So if you were going to stash Kibum or Chavis, who would it be?
I'd be Chavis.
Okay.
And so, I'm just going to say it the opposite way you say it every time.
Let's cover our bases. I like that. All right. We're going to take a quick break on fantasy baseball today. When we come back, we are going to rank some starting pitchers and take a look at the most added list and a lot more. Stick around.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Ready for some rankings, Heath?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this all morning.
These three pitchers may have gone back-to-back-to-back in your drafts. They all pitched yesterday. Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer, Aaron Nola. Rank them.
I don't believe the order of these three has changed. Yeah, it has changed a little bit. I have Gerrit Cole 4th. Overall pitcher, I've got Trevor Bauer 5th. I have dropped Aaron Nola down to 11th. He just, I'm not really worried about him being bad like he has been, but he's just not, it's not there right now. And it was a little bit surprising last year how good he was. And so he may just fall back into that barely an ace level, just outside of the top 10 starting pitchers. I have no qualms about Gerrit Cole. The Trevor Bauer walks thing is a little bit weird, but they're both going to be fantastic.
Gerrit Cole's strikeout rate is just outrageous. 54 strikeouts and 36 and a third. He's definitely better than that ERA. He's had one terrible start. He's got a 4.71 ERA, but 5 quality starts in 6 starts. He's gone 7 innings or more twice in 6 starts, which is not a ton, but it's good because toward the end of last season, they were sort of limiting Gerrit Cole's innings per start. You said you have Noah 11th. Did you put him behind Kershaw?
He is 2 spots behind Kershaw.
So I think you might be a little bit aggressive with your Kershaw ranking.
Yeah, I think I don't know where anybody else has. I know compared to Scott White, I'm definitely aggressive with my Kershaw ranking.
I just feel like I've said this so many times. that was not his last DL stint. I believe he will be back on the DL.
Yeah. I think that, like, if you make that bet about every pitcher in the top 15, that you'll be right more than you're wrong.
Yeah, but Kershaw would be and he at is, the top of the
he
list.
He has an increased risk. Maybe he's 20% more likely to go on the DL.
Oh, I said DL, didn't I? 21%. I said DL, I meant IL, thank you. Chavis. Have I thrown you off by interrupting you? I apologize.
No, not at all. Okay. I was done.
Okay. All right, Gabe Kapler said this about Aaron Nola yesterday. Really good sign for Nola, steps in the right direction, still not his best curveball, but certainly moving in the right direction and looking more and more like himself. All right, rank 'em, part two. Luis Castillo, Zach Greinke, Jameson Taillon.
And this is really about how high have you moved up Luis Castillo, because I don't think Zach Greinke or Jameson Taillon have moved in my rankings this season, other than when I've moved someone else ahead of or behind them. Greinke's still firmly at the end of the ace tier. Taillon's still at the top of the almost aces. And Castillo's squeezed his way in between the two. I do think there's a possibility. I think there's more upside with Luis Castillo than there's the other two here. He's the one guy on this list I could see being a top seven or eight starting pitcher the rest of the way, and I don't really think Greinke or Taillon is going to. But they're all within a range of 10 starting pitchers.
So I think that Taillon has done some stuff that could warrant a drop in the rankings. He has 25 strikeouts in 31 innings. He has a 4.06 ERA. He hasn't really dominated. And the last 14 starts of last season, Taillon had a 2.27 ERA, 86 strikeouts in 91 and a third. 12 of the 14 starts were quality starts, did not allow more than 3 earned runs in any of the 14 starts. He was really, really good. And he has not continued that. It's only 5 or 6 starts for him, so it's obviously early. 5 starts, I believe. But I personally am disappointed in Taillon, and I'm wondering, is there a buy low opportunity, or was he overrated, or is neither applicable here? You seem to just not have changed your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I had him just like around 24th, I think, at starting pitcher at the beginning of the year, 22nd, somewhere in that range. So that's not a guy that I really expected to dominate, so I haven't been that worried about what he's done so far. I think it's just well within the range of what's going to happen over 5 starts for a guy like him. There are some weird things that make me think he might be a little bit of a buy low, though, because the strikeout rate has really kind of collapsed. He's striking out 19.1% of hitters, which is considerably worse than it's been the last couple of years. His swinging strike rate is a career high, up to 12.5%. And last year, that was kind of what made the difference for him, was right. He went from being an 8% guy to a 10%. If he's a 12.5% swinging strike rate guy, I would expect a lot more strikeouts moving forward. And then you look at the peripherals, even with that strikeout rate, and his FIP's 3.11.
Right.
His Sierra's not very good at 4.05, but that's kind of the range I expect from him. I think he's going to be a mid to high threes ERA pitcher, and it's just going to depend on whether the strikeouts come back at all.
Yeah. I was hoping for a lot more, a lot better than that from Taillon. And the swinging strike rate in the final 14 starts, and I think that's when he incorporated the slider last year, it wasn't just a random 14 start sample, was 12%. So that's really good, and it's 12.5% now. So maybe we're onto something that maybe people aren't really down on Jameson Taillon. You know, that's possible. But if somebody is, because the raw numbers don't look great, perhaps you've got an opportunity to get something there. All right, rank 'em part 3. There are 5 pitchers in this group, Heath. Marco Gonzalez, John Lester, Rick Porcello, Caleb Smith, Masahiro Tanaka. Marco Gonzalez, John Lester, Rick Porcello, Caleb Smith, and Masahiro Tanaka.
I will go Tanaka first, then Caleb Smith, then Marco Gonzalez, and Lester and Porcello are left?
Yes, you're going Tanaka, Caleb Smith, Gonzalez, and then, yes, Lester and Porcello.
Yeah, I think we're just going to leave both them there at the end together.
Lester 4, Porcello 5.
I don't want to make a choice between the two of them.
I mean, I think it's interesting to have Caleb Smith over John Lester. Lester's having a really good start to the season. 2.37 ERA, 19 strikeouts in 19 innings. Strikeout rate plummeted last year, but struck out a batter per 9 2 years ago with a bad ERA. He's weird.
Oh, he's very, very weird. And he is a guy who has outperformed his peripherals significantly multiple times in the past. But right now he's got a 2.37 ERA and a 4.11 FIP. I just don't know that I necessarily buy it.
Okay.
I'll take Lester over Porcello.
All right, bullpen. By the way, P.S., Masahiro Tanaka drives me absolutely crazy. He is just an example of a pitcher who has a terrible fastball, and what happens when his other stuff is not on? He goes out.
Yeah, I mean, he's
blows a four-run lead at the
really
Angels.
He's really good most of the time, and then every once in a while he gets to knock it around.
He does. That's right. In the bullpen, Hector Neris took the loss yesterday, gave up a two-run homer, but that was in his second inning of work. He pitched in the ninth inning at home in a tie game and threw a scoreless inning, and then he came back out. Don't make him come back out. Treat him like the closer that he is. But Neris is 44% owned and still is having a really good year. Two walks, 17 strikeouts, and 11 and a third. Sergio Romo also got a save. He's 18% owned, but we should focus on Neris. What happens when David Robertson comes back? And you see Sergio Romo there as well, and he's the closer for the Marlins. Just not going to get a ton of saves. But what happens to Hector Neris when Robertson comes back?
I don't think the Phillies are going to have a closer. I still think probably now you'd have to expect that Hector Neris is going to lead this team in saves, but I don't expect anybody on the Phillies is going to get 20 of them.
Yeah. Okay, so you said Neris you think would lead the
I think
team
he, yeah. Yeah, let's give Neris 18 and we'll give Robertson maybe 12, 5 for Sir Anthony. Another 10 mixed amongst three or four players.
All right. And it's interesting because I do think Neris has basically been used like a closer since Robertson went on the IL. We're pretty much done with yesterday. Just some deep league guys. Heath's got a soft spot for Cole Calhoun, and he has homered in two straight games, and he's 26% owned. His teammate, Tommy La Stella, already has 7 home runs. That's a career high for Tommy La Stella. He's 13% owned. And then a couple of speedy guys. Tyler Wade for the Yankees. He has 4 steals in his last 3 games. And Jerod Dyson has actually only stolen 3 bases, but he's having by far his best season as a hitter. 333 with 3 home runs, 9 walks, 10 strikeouts in 20 games. He does sit against lefties, I'm pretty sure, but Dyson leads off against righties. I don't know why I dropped him in our 5 outfielder league. I think I dropped him because I know that Jerod Dyson is a bad hitter, and he has been every single year. But he's off to a good start. But would you like to say anything about Cole Calhoun, Tommy La Stella, Tyler Wade, or Jerod Dyson?
I think it's hilarious the way that you spelled Cole Calhoun's name in the notes.
I do it every time.
No, I do have a soft spot for him. I do think that he can be mixed league viable in a 5 outfielder league. He got off to another slow start this year, but he may just set a career high in home runs, and he should score a lot of runs hitting in front of Mike Trout. It'd be nice if he wasn't hitting below the Mendoza line. The only other guy I'm really particularly interested in on that list is Dyson. And it's because of the steals, not because of the home runs or what he's done with his bat so far. But I do still think if he hits well enough to play regularly, he's going to steal 30 or 40 bases.
Yeah, well, he's stolen 26 to 36 bases in 6 of his last 7 seasons, the only exception being last year when Dyson played just 67 games. But usually he's such a bad bat that you pretty much can't justify putting him in your lineup. But leading off, that is a nice thing, even if it's only against righties. All right. When we come back, the most added list. And I'm going to just ask Keith a general fantasy question. We're going to have like a nice little conversation. It's going to be wonderful. Coming right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
So how's 2019 fantasy baseball going for you, Heath?
I've got too many leagues to answer that accurately, I guess. But okay. I think it's going meh so far. It's like you don't know anything about your team yet. My Michael Brantley teams are feeling pretty good. My Eloy Jimenez teams are feeling pretty bad. But I will say the teams where I prioritize starting pitching are probably my best right now.
Thank you for saying that, because the podcast league, I am an absolute embarrassment in the podcast league, and I usually do well. I make the playoffs just about every year in the podcast league, the head-to-head points league. And this year, my first three picks were Freddie Freeman, Aaron Judge. Let me go back to the draft results. I know I really
waited.
Yeah,
you should go back and look at my first four picks.
I know. How's your team doing? You're killing it or what?
I think I'm 2-1.
Okay, I'm going to be 1-3. My picks were Freddie Freeman, Aaron Judge. I did take Strasburg. Okay. Strasburg, Carlos Correa, Jameson. All right, I guess I didn't. I'm sorry. So I thought
you have a really bad team.
Well, this is a Severino team. I thought I prioritized hitting more than usual in this draft, and I did, just maybe not quite as much at the top. And it's backfired. Yeah, my best teams have good pitching. So that's interesting.
I'm going to be 3-1. And I think I took pitcher with my first four or five picks in that league just because I wanted to do something different. Right. And it's worked out pretty well.
Yes. You took DeGrom, Cole, Paxton, Greinke, and then Jose Abreu, and then Michael Brantley in the sixth round. Wow. Good for you.
It's worked out well.
It has. We'll see. It's been a sort of a so-so start for me as well. Although I gotta say, I got two teams that are like middle of the pack and they both have Jose Ramirez. So I'm feeling good about those teams. Once he gets going, I think I got a chance there.
I have never won I've never won one of our podcast leagues, but I've also never won one of our AL or NL only leagues.
Okay.
And I'm in first place in our NL only industry league. And I have Trey Turner on that team.
Oh, very nice. It's Roto?
Yeah.
And if the 14-team points league that we're in, editorial league, of course, like, I'm just crushing it. I own that league. Absolutely own it.
Have you ever won it?
I think so. Yeah. We Jamie and I share a team. We won it once. We're so good. It's amazing. Like, it's just so good. Just, if you're in a 14-team points league, just come to me. Cause I ownership. Here's an email. Email of the day is from Thad in Raleigh, North Carolina. Subject, if you think Big League Chew is gross, ... check this out. Here in Raleigh in the 80s, there was an ice cream place whose whole thing was, we have the craziest toppings. So you can probably see where this is going. Every time I went, I'd get chocolate ice cream with pink Big League Chew as the topping. When cold, Big League Chew morphs into a rubbery consistency. So it was kind of like chewing on a big cold ball of plastic bag ties. Ugh.
Yum.
That's the worst ice cream I've ever heard. Ever. Would you like to hear about the ice cream cake I ordered for my wife for her birthday?
Yeah. And tell your wife I said happy birthday.
Thanks. I will. Okay. So it's Ben and Jerry's cake. Have you ever had one?
No.
People love them. It's okay. Got chocolate chip cookie dough and chocolate fudge brownie are the flavors. The filling is crumbled brownies. And the toppings are drizzled fudge and M&Ms.
That sounds better than Big League Chew.
It's going to be a really good cake. Very excited about this. Also excited about the most added list. Here we go. He'd say something interesting while I pull up the most added list.
My son had a basketball tournament this week at his school. They do a third, fourth, and fifth grade one-on-one tournament, and anyone in the school can enter it. And yesterday, he won the third grade championship, went 7-0 undefeated in the tournament.
Damn! All right. Way to go, congrats. So
he is the best third grade basketball player at his school.
That's awesome.
That's what I keep telling him. He's just embarrassed by the whole thing.
Yeah, I would say he is the Renato Nunez of third grade basketball, because Renato Nunez is the most added player in CBS Sports Leagues. His teammate, Dwight Smith, is the second most added player. We talked about them the other day, but that is strange to have two Orioles as the most added. And then there's Mike Soroka and Hunter Dozier, Zach Davies, Cole Tucker, who I guess we can compare Cole Tucker to Keyboom and Chavis. There's some closers on there that we'll get to. Luke Weaver, 79% owned. He's probably still under-owned. Got a thought on the most added list?
I'm not adding either of those Orioles to any of my mixed league teams, and I understand why people are. I don't think this is necessarily going to last. Soroka and Weaver are the only two guys that I've really made an effort. I did go at Elias in one league where I was really desperate for saves, but I don't know if he's going to give me any. And yeah. I've added Hunter Dozier in some league, of course.
Zach Davies, 68% owned. How does that sound to you?
Almost perfect.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say too high.
No, that's fine. I probably need to make sure that Zach Davies is in my starting pitcher rankings.
He's got a good matchup this weekend. No, he's at the Mets this weekend. Not necessarily a good matchup. If we just look at the relievers on the most added list, tell me who you like out of this group. Hector Neris, Roenis Elias, Ryan Brazier, and Ty Buttrey.
I would rank those, I mean, since we've been doing the ranking thing all day, I would rank them Brazier, Neris, Elias, Buttrey.
Brazier is 75% owned, and I don't know that he's getting every save for them, but Barnes keeps being used in non-save situations. Brazier keeps being used in save situations. If I told you the closer of the Red Sox was available in 25% of leagues, that guy just has to be owned in probably more leagues than that. Probably. I won't say definitely.
Yeah, I think the whole problem with these closer ownership percentages, and we've talked about it a lot, is it's just the bar for being owned in a points league as a relief pitcher is really, really high.
Okay, so I still think, like would you rather have Ryan Brazier or Brad Peacock?
I have Brazier ranked higher right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand wanting a SPARP over a normal closer, but I think Brazier's got a chance to be one of those closers that is absolutely must own regardless of format.
I think he has a chance to be that. I don't think he's that yet. I've got him 27th in points in my relief pitcher rankings, and I need to move Ross Stripling behind him, so that'll make him 26th. But he's right there in that same range with, like, Pedro Strop. If you're starting them, I think that's fine. I don't think you feel bad about it. But if you have two relievers and you notice that one of those two is available, I'm not sure you're dropping the guy you've been using.
I agree. Potential to get there, not quite there yet. All right, time for a quick round of emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Michael. Is it time to drop Dallas Keuchel? Dallas Keuchel is 78% owned. Is it time to drop him?
It can be. It just depends. At this point in the season, it's all about the roster construction and how many IL spots you have and how many IL players you have. I've got a league where I only have two IL spots, and I think I have six players on the injured list that I just would not drop. And so I had Keuchel on that team, and I cut him loose. I'm much more likely to cut loose of him in a categories league than I am a points league.
This is from Justin. Is it time to drop Yu Darvish? Would you drop Darvish to hold on to Eloy Jimenez a little bit longer?
I would rather hold on to Eloy than Darvish. I'm not really at the point of considering dropping either of them.
This is from Nick in New Jersey. It's about Caleb Smith, so we will skip it, although Nick wants me to play Old Town Road. Is that the song that Chris wanted me to play for the Stallions?
Yes, and it's just a what I hate about it is there was a big controversy over them saying it wasn't a country song. And I was on Old Town Road's side on that controversy because almost nothing on the country charts is what I would consider a country song. So it should have been on the charts. But then I listened to it and it's just awful.
Who sings it?
Lil Nas? Maybe?
Okay. So featuring Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes. Okay.
So we'll try to get a little sample of it here.
We're not actually going to play it. No, what are you
doing?
It's
got a picture of Stallions on this video I'm watching here. Yeah, I listened to it when Chris recommended it. It was awful.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse through the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse through the Old Town Road. I'm
gonna what are you doing right
ride
now?
Ride till I can't no more.
I don't know if there's any foul language or anything, so I have to turn it off.
Whole thing's foul.
That's pretty bad. That's a bad song. All right. This is Brandon from close to the home of the Flying Tigers. With Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming up in a dynasty league, I have to drop one. Who do I drop in dynasty? Clint Frazier, Nomar Mazzara, Kristen Stewart, Rafael Devers, Garrett Hampson, or Hunter Dozier?
I would probably drop Dozier. Kristen Stewart is the easy one to drop for this year, but assuming that you don't have to start Dozier or Stewart, I would rather have Stewart on my bench in a dynasty league.
Mike from Boston, who do you like rest of season in a points league, Marcus Semien or Jorge Polanco?
These are two guys that moved up the most in my shortstop rankings. I'm going to go with Polanco in a points.
Yeah, I think Polanco was a top 12 shortstop in points last year. Well, wait, I get him confused. No, he was suspended last year, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wasn't top 12 in points.
No, it was Escobar was. I get him confused with Escobar. But Polanco has a points league profile, whereas Semien didn't in the past. But because his plate discipline's so good, he kind of does now. We'll talk about that in a bit. Kyle wants to know, would you drop any of these guys for any of those guys? Victor Robles, Eloy Jimenez, or Ryan McMahon? Would you drop any of them, Robles, Jimenez, McMahon, for Christian Walker, Semien, Yandy Diaz, Josh Bell, or Jock Peterson?
I would not.
This is from Trevor in Plainfield. Who do I drop?
Yes. Why aren't you reading any of the names so I can guess them all?
Dear Frank, Paul, and Jose.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yes, you are. White Sox first baseman. Who should I drop to make room for Daniel Murphy? Brandon Lau, Hunter Dozier, Adam Jones, Eloy Jimenez, Clint Frazier, Josh Donaldson, or Malik Smith?
I would be, well, if you're, it's to bring Murphy off the IL, you can just put Clint Frazier on the IL.
Okay, fine. The point is, though, like, I want you to do, like, some ranking. So who's your least favorite out of Lau, Hunter Dozier, Adam Jones, Eloy, Clint Frazier, Donaldson, and Malik Smith?
I'm just trying to help the guy with strategy for fantasy baseball.
Understood.
The two that I would consider would be Frazier and Dozier.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the top five at each position. Heath, here we go. Your top five catchers in points leagues. I'll alternate between points and Roto. Wilson Contreras, Yasmani Grandal, Omar Narvaez, JT Realmuto, and Yadier Molina. Again, top five catchers in points league are Wilson Contreras, Yasmani Grandal, Omar Narvaez, JT Realmuto, and Yadier Molina.
I think you deserve some credit. I think you called the Omar Narvaez breakout, and it's happening.
I would not say that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I pointed out that Omar Narvaez was OBP league someone you wanted to pay attention to. He does walk a lot. Scott was probably a little bit more optimistic about Narvaez than I was. Do you think he's a good hitter?
I think he is a good hitter for a catcher.
Okay. Batting 286 with 5 home runs, and he has 9 walks to 19 strikeouts. Wilson Contreras actually leads all catchers with 13 walks. Is there anything here? By the way, I'm now seeing, in Roto, I should point out in Roto that Mitch Garver is a top 5 catcher, but not in points. Probably like 6th, 7th. And I'm surprised that Wilson Ramos is sixth in points. That's crazy to me because he has had a crap year. Batting .278, slugging .333. But getting on base a decent amount and probably playing a lot. Wilson Ramos.
Adam, okay. He's a catcher.
Yeah, but still, that's bad. All right, top five first baseman. Let's go to roto format here. Top five first baseman. Cody Bellinger. Pete Alonso. Trey Mancini. Paul Goldschmidt. And Christian Walker.
Just like we expected. Bellinger, I've moved up to my number three first baseman rest of season, and I'm not sure that I'm done moving him for the rest of the, for the season. He's been right. Absolutely incredible. He's sliced the strikeout rate to a level where if he kept it there, he's just going to be one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah, he hasn't slowed down. Now, Mancini, you know, he cooled off a little, but not that much. I mean, Mancini's been pretty good, too. He's still got an OPS just over 1,000.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I wish he would cool off a little bit more. Like, if you look back to when he was really good in 2017, or at least really good for him, he hit almost 300 that year. With 24 home runs, he might get up to 30 this year. I still don't think he's going to drive in a lot of runs, but he might score 100 hitting at the top of the order. So I won't be able to find a way probably to get Trey Mancini into my top 12 first baseman anytime in the next month. But if he keeps this up for a month from now, I'll have to reevaluate.
I want to tell you a trade that went down in one of my leagues, the 13-team Roto League involving Trey Mancini. So let me just get that for you because it was, I think, a very good sell-high trades. Here we go. It was, I mean, this is just ridiculous. Giving up Kevin Gausman, Freddie Galvis, and Trey Mancini. Getting George Springer and Harrison Bader. So you're basically just getting Springer. But that's just right. Giving up like three replaceable pieces, unless you really believe in Kevin Gausman, because pitching's hard to find in this league. But Gausman, Mancini, and Galvis for Springer and Bader. And I think the guy getting Springer just really won that trade.
Oh, yeah. It was, I thought you were going to tell me that you had to, veto it because it was unfair.
No, it was a good trade. It was good for him. And he's got a really good team, and that pisses me off. Second base, top five in points leagues. Javier Baez, Yoan Moncada, Jose Altuve, one steal in three attempts for Jose Altuve, Whit Merrifield, and Colton Wong. Baez, Moncada, Altuve, Merrifield, and Wong.
Yeah, Javier Baez is just going to make us look like complete idiots this season. And I'm just like, I'll wear it. That's fine. He is most of the things that I said, well, that's not going to keep up because it's ridiculous and nobody does that, has just gotten more ridiculous. He had a 24% home run to fly ball rate last year. He's up to 27% now. He had like a 347 BABIP last year. He's at 377 now. He's striking out more than he did in 2018, so that's fine.
So what do you think? Do you think he sustains it, or do you think?
What do you want me to say?
What?
Like this is the reverse Matt Carpenter to where he was. It's just bled over into the first part of this year, but there's still a cold streak coming. He's not my number one second baseman for the rest of the year. I'd rather have Altuve. I'd still rather have Whit Merrifield, but. What he's doing is both really good and doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, he's just an interesting player. And I could understand Baez being number one in Roto, but the plate discipline should drag him down, and yet he's number one in points. Also, Colton Wong. I mean, Colton Wong has 16 walks to 14 strikeouts. Yeah, that's really very impressive. He's not hitting for as much power lately, I don't think, but he's doing some good things.
Yeah, because on this list, like I've just decided to own the Baez thing. That's fine, and I have moved Yoan Moncada up considerably. I'm pretty much buying into him. Wong's the guy on this list that I really haven't yet, and it's getting closer to time where I might have to reevaluate that.
Okay, I just want to. He's so much fewer at bats, so I want to see if he's playing against lefties. I suspect he is not. Well, they have only faced three left-handed starting pitchers, and Colton Wong. Yeah, he's been in the lineup. He's been in the lineup for all three of them. Maybe he gets pinch hit. No, they faced four. and he's been in the lineup for all four. All right, but I don't know why he's so many fewer at-bats than the other guys. All right, let's move on to shortstop. Tim Anderson in Roto. Tim Anderson is number one. Javier Baez is two. Trevor Story, three. Paul DeJong, four. Adalberto Mondesi, five. Top five shortstops in Roto are Tim Anderson, Javi Baez, Trevor Story, Paul DeJong, and Adalberto Mondesi. And you know what, Heath? Let's extend it to six and mention Marcus Semien.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about Marcus Semien, but the one that's really interesting to me is Tim Anderson, because, and Scott White said it before, I think on Monday when I was kind of giving him a hard time, because I don't buy into Anderson much more than he does, but Anderson has really had months like this where he takes off and runs a ton. It looks like, oh, he's going to turn into the 40 or 50 steal guy, and he just hasn't. I know the batting average is not going to continue. I don't really think he's going to hit 30 home runs, but if he just keeps running like this, a lot of that other stuff, regression's not going to matter too much. And then the Paul DeJong, yeah. I think I need to rank him ahead of Corey Seager in Roto.
Okay, we've gotten to that point, huh? And then
I think so.
It's actually not Semien who's eight; it's who's six. He's eighth. Tim Beckham and Elvis Andrews are six and seven. By high and Andrews. Beckham, yeah, I don't think Beckham did homer yesterday, but he had really cooled off. I don't think we're buying him.
No.
Okay. Outfield. Or did we do? No, we didn't do third base. Third base. Sorry, graphics department. Third base. Javi Baez. Javi Baez is number one at second base, number two at shortstop, and number one at third base. Anthony Rendon, Yoan Moncada, Michael Franco, and Matt Chapman. Talk about Franco and Chapman.
Chapman just looks like a star. Like, he's one of the best defensive players in baseball, and he's just raking. And there's not anything like he's hitting 311 with a 274 BABIP right now.
And he's got more walks than strikeouts.
Yeah. His strikeout rate's 10%. I don't think, like, he was a 24% strikeout guy. It was kind of almost a problem before that. 28% in 2017. I don't think this is anywhere close to real, but it's kind of a weird thing that's happened that Scott has talked about with a couple of the Athletic.
Right.
But if he's like below 20%, he just gets it to like a Paul DeJong this year level at 18%. He's still an absolute star, and we're probably going to keep showing him in this graphic.
Top five outfielders in Roto: Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna, Domingo Santana, George Springer. Top five outfielders in Roto. It's nice that Springer's there. He's usually better in points, not to say bad in Roto, but top five. So again, Bellinger, Yelich, Ozuna, Santana, Springer.
Yeah, I like, we've talked so much about Bellinger and Yelich, and they're both awesome. And we've talked a lot about Domingo and Santana. I don't know that we've talked enough about what Marcell Ozuna has done since his slow start. He's just been one of the hottest. He's had a stretch for a couple of weeks where he's been almost as good as Bellinger and Yelich. And then, yeah, Springer has kind of been quietly good, hasn't he?
I would say so. He's stolen two bases. He's batting .283, eight home runs, 19 runs, 21 RBIs. That feels like a lot for a leadoff hitter. But yeah, I would say quietly good. I mean, .374 on base percentage is really good for Springer. Let's see what he usually is at there.
.357 is his career, but I don't think he's ever had it
right.
quite this high.
All right, so I don't know if the walk rate's much better, but 14 walks in 25 games. It's better, but it's not like off the charts. So he's just having a good year. But I guess the question is he a 265 hitter? Is he a 280 hitter? Because that's the difference between 2017 and 2018, basically. You know?
No, I think that'll make a huge difference. And then the other thing is, like, he can't keep up this home run pace, but I don't know that 40 is necessarily out of the question.
You like Marcell Ozuna or George Springer?
I still have Springer ranked higher. I've moved Ozuna up quite a bit. I don't think Springer's really moved too much in my rankings, but he was way ahead of him before the season. And it is worth noting, as far as Springer goes, according to Baseball Savant, his average exit velocity is 93.1 miles per hour. That's elite.
Wow.
His hard hit rate is 59%.
I feel like it's a hot streak. you know, like he's right. really good. I don't know if he's great. I'd have to look more into that because there was one year where it looked like Springer was absolutely great, and then he got hurt. So I'm not okay. You know what? I'm just gonna look up my Springer notes and get back to you on that. We don't have time for pitchers, so let's go for the top five pitchers in points in Roto. So let's just go, Heath, to the two-star pitchers for the crappy two-star pitchers for Fantasy Week 6. And I guess we can take a look at some of the high-owned guys and whether or not we're going to start them or sit them. Do we have any at Colorados? That's always the first thing I look at. Are we going to start Walker Buehler at San Francisco and at San Diego?
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's not Walker Buehler right now, but we start bad pitchers at San Francisco. So, absolutely.
Are we going to start Brad Keller against Blake Snell and Daniel Norris?
You don't really like the first matchup, but he's good enough to start pretty much almost every week that he's a two-star pitcher.
Yeah, Brad Keller's got Tampa Bay and Detroit. I don't know why I said the pitcher names. Frankie Montas at Boston and at Pittsburgh.
This is the only one that is really a question for me on this first list of starting pitchers, and he's the least proven. I like the matchup at Pittsburgh enough to swallow the matchup at Boston. I'll start him.
So Montas has actually faced the Astros twice and the Rangers once, and they all have good lineups. And he's come through all of those starts fine. He's given up a total of 8 runs in 16 and two-thirds innings in those 3 starts. So not great, but respectable. And in a points league, that would work in a two-start week. We're obviously going to start Blake Snell. I think you could start Eduardo Rodriguez. You don't want to start Julio Teheran, I'm guessing, but he does have San Diego and at Miami.
No.
Same matchups for Mike Soroka?
Yeah, we definitely want to start him.
Yolish Chacin, Colorado and the Mets at home.
I don't really want to, but I understand why somebody would.
Then we've got Nick Margavichus, Michael Pineda, Jeff Samardzija, Jake Odorizzi, Anibal Sanchez, Tanner Roark, Jake Junis, Adam Wainwright, Ivan Nova, Clay Buchholz, David Hess, Hector Velasquez, Irvin Santana, Jason Vargas, Daniel Ponce de Leon, and Chad Bettis.
Yeah, those are all the guys that I looked at and said, no, I don't see a pitcher under 70% that I can recommend starting.
Also, Ponce de Leon was... he's not going to be... It's possible.
No,
Michael,
I don't think he is at all.
It's possible Michael Wacha is going to be a two-star pitcher next week.
Yeah, I think the most likely outcome is probably that Ponce de Leon is a one-star pitcher and Michael Wacha is a one-star pitcher.
Okay. Well, I think they sent Ponce de Leon to AAA, though.
Oh, did they send him back?
Yes, on April 24th.
Wednesday. Well, then that's not the most likely situation.
Yes. Michael Wacha will be back for his next start. I don't know when that is, but it could be Monday at Washington. So he could be a two-star pitcher. If you need someone this weekend, if you want to win your league this weekend, Heath, do you like any of these guys? The Friday streamers, Matt Strom at Washington, Jared Eichhoff against Miami, Chase Anderson at the Mets, Daniel Norris at the White Sox, Tyler Skaggs at the Royals.
I kind of like starting Eichhoff.
Yeah. I mean, the Marlins are just they're just the
They're
worst.
Really bad.
Yeah. So I'm always going to pick on the Marlins in this segment. Is that it? I think Skaggs is an okay start.
He would be my second choice.
Yeah.
But it would definitely have to be a situation where I thought I had already lost ratios and I was just chasing wins in case.
Okay. Saturday streamers. Tyler Malley at St. Louis. Aaron Sanchez against Oakland. Derek Holland at the Yankees. Trevor Richards at the Phillies. Jorge Lopez against the Angels.
I'm probably starting Trevor Richards. I think he's it's a bad matchup, but I think he's good enough that I'm just probably starting him until he hurts me. Derek Holland is at home against the Yankees, right?
Yes.
He would be my second favorite. I would consider that.
Sunday streamers, Yanni Chirinos at Boston, Pablo Lopez at Philly, Zach Davies at the Mets, Steven Matz, he is the most owned. Actually, Luke Weaver is. They're both 78-ish% owned. Steven Matz against Milwaukee. Manny Benuelos against Detroit. Homer Bailey against the Angels. Derek Rodriguez against the Yankees. Eric Swanson against Texas, Luke Weaver against the Cubs, and Wade Miley against Cleveland.
I'm starting Luke Weaver. I'm starting Pablo. I would probably start Steven Matz. He's been good a lot more often than he's been bad. And I don't think Derek Rodriguez is a terrible option.
I actually don't think Wade Miley is that bad of an option against Cleveland, even with Lindor back. As long as you're not aiming for strikeouts, like, I think you can get a quality start out of Wade Miley. Yeah, there's some decent streamers this week. Who's your absolute favorite? It might be, other than Luke Weaver, he's 79% owned, I think it might be Eichhoff for me. Although, yeah, it might also be Trevor Richards.
Right, yeah. See, I have a hard time thinking about Richards being a streamer. But yeah, I would rather him than Eichhoff.
He's 58% owned.
Right.
It's just, that's Pablo's, Trevor Richards.
Pablo Lopez is just like, still like 33% owned or something.
33. Okay, 2017 for George Springer. So last year he disappointed. He batted 265 with 22 home runs in 140 games. But in 2017, his first 99 games, he batted 310 with 27 homers, a 973 OPS. Why am I only looking at the first 99 games? Because that's before he sustained a quad injury. He missed 2 weeks with a quad injury. He came back. He had a 717 OPS in 47 games after the injury. And then he was the World Series MVP, I believe. He had 5 home runs in the final 6 games of the World Series. But I thought 2017 George Springer really busted out. And that's why I was so excited about him last year, which was a complete disaster. So maybe there's something there. Maybe he really is kind of a top 5 outfielder. I know we're not going to rank him that way, but someone who could finish there. Thank you for listening, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Make sure you listen to the Fantasy Football Today podcast where we break down the NFL draft. And here on Fantasy Baseball Today, we'll talk to you on Monday. See you later.